Well, this evening, as I understand it, you've been working through Colossians in the evening, which is fantastic. This evening, we are looking particularly at verses 12 to 14. Please, can I encourage you to keep your Bibles open there? I'll be referring to those verses. But I just want to kind of start, and I'm not sure whether this is the done thing at Eden Baptist Church, but I wonder if you can help me by telling me, that is, that you tell me, what it is you do here. Now, what I mean by that is, could you just throw out some of the ministries that you're involved with or the roles you take on, things that you might be kind of rotated for, anything at all? Just shout them out. Brilliant. Yep, so Sunday school teachers or Sunday group leaders, fantastic. Yep, house group leaders, or you may go and be a member of a house group. Brilliant. Creche leaders. Fantastic. Yep. Missionary support. Prayer meetings. Okay. So you've got two different groups, or are they... As in, those are two different groups, is that right? Brilliant. Okay. Young people. So some kind of youth group. Over 65s. Exciting. Yep. Internationals. Brilliant. Thank you. Great. That is fantastic, aren't they? They're wonderful things to kind of hear, and I'm certain that they are all really important in a church of this size. I'm sure, actually, you need those things in order to function. But my question for you this evening, though, is your role, so whether that be that you're a youth group leader or a Sunday group leader, or you run the over 65s, or you lead the missionary support in some way, you know, is the job that you're kind of rotated for how you define yourself? That might be, I guess, how you introduce yourself. So I might say to somebody, "Hi, I'm Ben, and I'm a pastor." Yeah, that is what I do. Or sometimes we talk, don't we, in terms of hats. So I could say, well, an hour ago, I had my dad's hat on. I was being a dad. I was playing with my kids. And then I've come here, and I've put my preacher's hat on. Now, maybe that's how you think. You know, as a member of this church, you might think, well, I wear three different hats. So during the week, I help out with the youth group. On Sunday, I serve tea and coffee, and the rest of the time, I'm a parent, or I'm a husband. Perhaps for you, it's not as pronounced as that. Perhaps it's much more than that. Perhaps it is the case that actually your role here means so much to you that it's not just how you introduce yourself, but it drives everything that you do. You know, when you think about it, actually, you can't bear to lose it. Your role really does define you. This is who you are. Well, however much we think like that, however much we think in terms of roles or function, what Paul does in this passage this evening is he's encouraging us to think very differently. He wants us to be defined not by what we do, but by the new life that we have in Christ. Now, I guess you would have seen over the last couple of weeks, if you have been here in your evening service, that chapter 3 that was read to us begins by telling us how we've been raised with Christ, and our lives are now hidden in Christ or with Christ. So we're joined to him in a very real way. We have a new life with him. And that reality, that truth, is now what ought to define us. So I guess you would have seen last week that we are to get rid of the way that we used to live. And this week we are told positively to live in a different way. And Paul says this to us not by telling us not just to put on a new hat, not just to kind of put on a different hat to add to our other hats. He says, actually, you're to put on a whole new set of clothes. That's what he says to us. That's what he tells us to do. He says, clothe yourselves. That's actually the one command. It's the one imperative that you get in this passage that really then kind of resonates throughout the three verses that we have here. Clothe yourselves. I guess it's a bit like, if you, just to pluck a random example, you graduate from university and you start a new life as a police officer. And you see, you would stop wearing shorts and t-shirt during the day and you would put on a new uniform. Your new life means you would clothe yourself differently. And more than that, you would clothe yourself appropriately. New life means different clothes. And this is what Paul says to us effectively here. He's saying, clothe yourselves appropriately. You have new life with Christ. Be who you are. Now, of course, that set of clothes is not a literal set of clothes. It's a picture of a new character that we are to have, the new virtues that we are to possess. It's how we are to think of ourselves as part of the church. Our new life with Christ is now what defines us. Now, the reason that Paul tells us to do this is because actually that makes all the difference to Eden Baptist Church. I'm sure that you're aware that in Colossae there are a load of kind of false ideas floating around. I'm not quite sure whether those ideas are being impressed on this church or not, but they're there. They take on a number of different forms, but the essence of all of them is gospel plus. It's the idea that these people are saying, well, Jesus is great, but he isn't actually enough. You need something more than Jesus for real Christianity. Now, that's the essence of the false ideas. And what we see in chapter 2 is the problem with that is it leads to division. It divides people. Now look, I don't think any of us here that are members of this church, if you're trusting in Christ, I don't think you would agree with Jesus plus. I'm sure that you know, just as we've sung this evening, that Jesus is enough, that Jesus has done everything to make us right with God. But do you see that if you define yourself, or we define ourselves by what we do, by our role, we can be driven by Jesus plus. Do you see? So I could think, I can turn up to my church and I can think, well, yeah, I have Jesus, but I'm also an elder. I've got Jesus plus something. And if my life is bound up with being an elder and I walk into church primarily as an elder, I can so easily think of myself as being better than the other Christians around me. Yeah, they have Jesus, but they've not got the status that I have. Or consider it perhaps the other way around. I have known many single people whose lives are kind of caught up with that. And as they look around at all the supposedly happy marriages in church, they start to feel inferior. They have Jesus, but not the plus of a spouse. And you see, if many people think like that, if we define ourselves by something other than Jesus, then it leads to division. It leads to a divisive church. And so that is why Paul says what he says here in this passage. He's saying, clothe yourselves with new life in Christ. Clothe yourselves, not with some kind of status, not with some kind of role that you do, but clothe yourselves with what Jesus has done. And what you will find is a united church. A church that lives out the unity that it has in Christ. That is what Paul wants to achieve, I think, from this passage. And so he tells us to clothe ourselves in three ways. Three ways he tells us to clothe ourselves. Firstly, as God's community. As God's community. We clothe ourselves as God's community. This is who we are in Christ. And so we see in verse 12 that we are to clothe ourselves with certain virtues. You just read them with me there in verse 12 of chapter 3. Paul says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Now, these are, if you like, the kind of colours of our clothing, virtues that are the opposite of all the selfish desires we once had in verse 5. These are very much selfless, aren't they? So you've got compassion, where we feel for others, where we feel for other people's situations. You've got kindness, where we actively put others before ourselves. Humility, where we think of others as better than ourselves. And we are to treat them with gentleness and patience. These are clothes, of course, that seem to fit with God's community. So God has chosen his people. He has brought this community into being, wonderfully brought them from darkness to light. And so just as a police officer would perhaps put on a police uniform, God's community are to put on the virtues that fit with who they are. God's chosen people. These are virtues here that reflect God himself. We see them very clearly in Jesus Christ. But there's something a bit more going on here. The point here is that we put them on as a community. As a people. You see, God's people have all been given new life in Christ. And so they all have this equal status. You see that there in verse 11. That's the point of verse 11. Just look down there with me. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. What he's saying is every single one of God's community has equal status. Christ is all and he is in all of those people. And verse 12 says, therefore. So if you have equal status, therefore, as God's chosen people, clothe yourselves, all of you, with the same virtues. You clothe yourselves as God's community. I guess it's less like the example of the police officer, isn't it? That's kind of an individual putting on clothes that fit with what that person does. This, I think, is much more like something like Team GB, if you know kind of Britain's Olympic team. So you've got these people who come together and they all specialise in different sports. They're very gifted in different events. So, I don't know, you've got cyclists, rowers, runners, hockey players, wheelchair basketballers, swimmers, you name it. They're all very different, and yet they have equal status. They've all been chosen to come on to Team GB. And as part of that community, they all wear the same colours. So they all walk around the Olympic Village with this picture of a kind of a red and blue lion and the words Team GB. That's the clothes that they wear. And that just makes sense, doesn't it? You know, it'd be a bit strange if someone was chosen for Team GB and they turned up for a team meeting in the colours of Jamaica or something. Yeah, in different clothing. No, they're all part of the same team, and so they all wear the same clothing. They clothe themselves as a community. That's the idea here in verse 12, I think. Not that one or two people would try and show some compassion, kindness, or humility. Not just that the church leaders would be putting on these things, but all of us who belong to Christ, who belong to God's community, would be clothing ourselves with the same clothing. Now, I guess what that means for us is that as an individual Christian, each of us needs to remind ourselves of who we are. Yeah, this is who I am. I'm part of God's chosen people. I'm holy. I'm dearly loved. And so this is what I should wear. Yeah, I need to tell myself that. These are the virtues that fit with who I am as I interact with others. But you see, it also means that I need to see the people around me differently. I need to see the people around me as my equals, as people who are on the same team. So, you know, we have this guy with us at Christchurch Camborne who, from a worldly point of view, does not offer us anything. His health is so bad, he is so needy, that you can't put him on any rota. You need a rota to look after him. But you see, if I only look at him in that way, if I only look at him in terms of his role, I'm going to look down on him. Because he can't offer me anything. He can't serve at a church. I'm not going to give that guy the time of day if I'm thinking about function. And so as I take him a meal or I have him round my house or I just go and sit next to him at church, I need to be thinking, do you know what? This guy is chosen by God. And he is perfect in his sight. And he is dearly loved by Christ. He has the same new life that I do. And do you know what? That just changes the way that I am towards him. I am much more ready then to clothe myself with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. Now, I guess on one level that sounds lovely, doesn't it? That you guys would be a community that clothe yourselves with those things. But the truth is, it's not always easy. You know, church is not always that simple. And we're still to clothe ourselves when it's difficult. This Paul then takes us a step further here in verse 13. And the second thing we see this evening is that we are to clothe ourselves through conflict. We're to clothe ourselves through conflict. Now we see this as Paul kind of seems to add a couple of interesting kind of colours to the clothing. Do you see there in verse 13? He says, bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Now look, these are not actions that replace the clothing of verse 12, that they're not separate from the clothing of verse 12. But Paul is not thinking here, well, I'll just throw in a couple more to add to the list that I've just written. No, actually, these are to be done at the same time as the list we read in verse 12. Paul is telling us, as you do those things, constantly be bearing with one another and constantly be forgiving one another. Now, his assumption, of course, is that amongst God's people, there's going to be conflict. You know, that there'll be people that perhaps we don't like. there will be people who perhaps go against us. And at that point, in those times, we are not to suddenly stop expressing kindness, compassion, humility, gentleness, and patience. No, we keep those things on, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. We are to clothe ourselves through conflict. Now, that suddenly makes us a very, very different team to Team GB, doesn't it? You know, that's a team that really only comes together based on their merit. And so where performance is not as it should be, well, there isn't much bearing with one another. Where mistakes are made, where batons are dropped in a relay and medals are missed out on, there isn't much forgiveness. Now, the church is not to be like that. It's to be much, much different. And at the same time, it means that actually we're not a community that doesn't allow conflict to creep in. You know, those kind of communities are everywhere, don't you? So think of something like Parkrun. I don't know if you ever make it to these things. The idea is that on a Saturday morning somewhere in Cambridge, you get together with a bunch of people for free and you run 5 kilometres. And here's what happens. You turn up for a brief time together once a week. You spend time with people who enjoy doing the same thing. You don't say much to anyone, and you certainly don't let anybody see your faults. And then you go home. Well, Paul's assumption here is that the church is not like that. You don't just turn up as if you're perfect and then go home. No, God's chosen people are a community that know one another so well that we experience our failings. That we know conflict, and yet we remained clothed with this selfless attitude. So just consider the person that annoys us, you know, that does things so differently to us that we just cannot seem to work with them. They agitate us so much that we struggle to be around them. They haven't done anything wrong. They're not deliberately against you, but they just get to you for being who they are. Now, it's very easy, isn't it, at that point to withdraw from that person, to want to get rid of that person, even slander that person. And do you see, it's only as you bear with that person that you can actually be patient towards them, you can show them kindness, despite the conflict in your personalities, only as you bear with them. Or consider the person who doesn't necessarily annoy you, but just doesn't give you what you want. You know, I turn up to church on a Sunday, and having tried to kind of dress 3 kids and get them out of the house, I am desperate for a cup of coffee. And if somebody's not giving me that cup of coffee, I am very quickly annoyed. If they want to talk to me rather than serving, I'm just thinking, I just need my cup of coffee. And at that point, if I only think of them in terms of the person serving me coffee, I'm not going to bear with them very well. But Paul says here, look, I'm to do these things, bearing with that person. I need to bear with them in order then to show them some humility, to listen to what they need to say. Now, more than those examples, consider the person who's done something, who has actually done something against us. You know, we have a grievance against them. We have a reason to complain because they've treated us unfairly in some way. We could, again, easily not just withdraw, but we could express rage or anger at that towards them. Yet it's only as we forgive them that we can continue to show compassion and gentleness, the virtues of verse 12. Now, let's face it, those things are not easy. And if you're struggling with that kind of thing, particularly forgiveness, then what Paul encourages us to do is to look to Christ. Just have a look again at verse 13. He says, bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. You see, that's the key to this. However someone may offend us or go against us, the truth is that we have offended Christ more. And yet, he died for his enemies. And it's only as we are deeply humbled by that that we will be able to freely forgive other people. Now, that's never going to happen if, again, we define ourselves by something other than Christ. Yeah, if I see myself as someone who has a position, who deserves some respect for what I do, if I see myself as that, rather than a sinner who needs forgiveness, a sinner who has forgiveness, then I'm going to struggle to clothe myself through conflict. But we must. That's the only way we can clothe ourselves as we ought. Verse 12 and 13, they go together. And this really is the last thing that we see this evening, that these virtues must come together. Finally, we are to clothe ourselves completely. We are to clothe ourselves completely. This is the last thing we see this evening, focusing on verse 15. We clothe ourselves completely. So we've talked about all the different kind of colours of the clothing that we're to put on. That list in verse 12, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, whilst we bear with one another, whilst we forgive one another. Now these, of course, they're named separately, and yet I hope you can see that as we've gone through, we're not to put them on separately. No, we're to clothe ourselves with these virtues all at the same time. You clothe yourselves completely. Yeah, that's what Paul tells us in verse 14. And more than that, he tells us of one kind of overarching piece of clothing that puts everything that we've seen together. Have a look at verse 14. Paul says, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Now, just have a look at that again. It binds, what does it bind? It binds them. That's a bit of a surprise to us, isn't it? We might expect Paul to say, love that binds us together. But that's not the case. No, love binds all these virtues together. I guess, in one sense, it's like kind of Team GB. If you think of Team GB, they all have their own kind of specialist kit for their particular sport. But at the opening ceremony of the Olympics, they put on these kind of big, kind of all-in-one suits, which really, all the colours of their kit, all the colours of Team GB are sewn into one piece of clothing. They're all bound together completely. Now, as we put on love, as we carry out that one principle, all the other virtues are there. All the other virtues are displayed. We clothe ourselves completely. And when we think about that, it just makes perfect sense, doesn't it? So it's not that one day we put on the hat of one virtue, but we forget about everything else. You know, well, today I'm going to be a bit humble, but I'm not going to worry about any of the other things. No, they just naturally go together. So if you're patient with somebody, you are being humble. If you forgive someone, you are being kind to them. Patience is, of course, bound up with bearing with someone. I could go on, but all of these are expressed together. They're bound together as we genuinely love other people. And as the whole of God's community does that, even through times of conflict, actually that is where we experience true unity. Now, look, if you're not a Christian here this evening, I really hope that you see that here. That you see something of this kind of love in this church. Amongst the gathered Christians here, that you do see this kind of character in them, even when it's difficult. I hope you see a selfless love that is different to how Team GB might behave or Parkrun might run or anything else that the world offers. And I hope that if you ask them, why that kind of love exists here, that they would tell you that it is down to Christ. We've seen that through, haven't we? But that is where the church needs to turn to even begin to do this. This love is not simply about trying hard to get along or to make things work or just expressing random feelings towards one another. No, it comes from Christ. And you will see this much more clearly next week, that loving others means letting the peace of Christ rule. It means letting the word of Christ dwell. It means doing everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's as Christ defines us as the church that we then live out our unity in him. Let's pray together. Father, we praise you so much as we've sung this evening of your great love for us. Father, we praise you that through Jesus Christ we know redemption, we know the forgiveness of our own sin, we know new life. We praise you that we've been raised with Christ, that our lives are now hidden with Christ. We praise you that's not of our own doing. That for those of us here who trust in Christ, we are God's chosen people, presented before you as holy people, and people who are dearly loved by you. Father, we praise you that this is who we are. And therefore, we pray that we would be who we are. Please help us, Father, as we've seen these virtues here in this passage, to clothe ourselves with them. Pray that we would do that dependent on you, and pray that we would do that for your glory. Amen.